Why don't I just get thank you. You should be in this one right now.
Good afternoon, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to another Draft Day special edition of Railbird Central. It's the Saturday, day three of the NFL Draft. The Packers have just made a surprise move, have moved up into the fifth round, gave up their 6th and 2 7th rounders to draft Terrell Manning, a linebacker from NC State. And to analyze the pick, we have once again Paul Guillemette, Pigskin Paul of PigskinPaul.com. Paul, how are you doing on Saturday?
I'm doing okay. I'm taking a beating on some of my draft rankings, so to speak, but hey, that comes with the territory these days.
It sure does. Well, the Packers made a trade.
From what I read this morning, I'm not the only guy.
Yeah. A lot of, the one that really surprised me yesterday was the cornerback from Illinois. Did anybody know about that guy?
Oh, Javon, no, I'll tell you what, the Patriots pick you're talking about.
Yeah.
Javon Wilson, no, that was a total shock, and I'll tell you what, I think that's another example of, obviously, Belichick has a successful record, and he's a heck of a coach, but I think that pick, we won't dwell on it too long, speaks of arrogance to the ultimate degree. I saw Javon Wilson on film in a couple of games, and Ryan, he split his time between converting to linebacker or to safety. This kid was playing linebacker, but he was too small. So, you know, that we'll let that one go. But I think that's a little bit of Belichick Patriots arrogance.
Yeah,
and I don't expect that guy to be on the team much longer past a few special teams downs.
That was just a weird one that I don't know why they spent a second rounder on him. But anyway, let's get the Packers talk here. The Packers trade up once again for the third time this draft into the fifth round. They didn't originally, or they had traded out of the fifth round to the Patriots.
Right.
They get the exact same pick back. They give up a 6th and 2 7th rounders. I thought it was perhaps a little bit steep of a price to pick up another defensive player, now the sixth player in a row on the defensive side. Just what's your impression from a trade value standpoint?
I don't see that that's a problem because, Brian, let's get real about this. When you get to the seventh round, you're drafting guys that are just about the same as the guys you're about to sign as undrafted free agents.
Okay, so why trade up for them then?
And part of it is the fact that the Packers had so many seventh rounders. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't trade the compensatory picks.
Yeah.
So without looking at my list, that still leaves them with two compensatory seventh-round picks, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you begin to look at it, and listen, in their defense, now, I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. I mean, you're just asking me. But, you know, I will sit there, and I've just told you, my ranking boards are taking a beating. But I'll tell you one thing I like about this. That was the 163rd pick of the draft, okay? From Pigskin Paul's perspective, they didn't pay too much to move up because I had Terrell Manning ranked as my 117th best player, i.e., I had him as a fourth-round draft choice.
Okay, let's get into Terrell Manning here. What does he bring to the table? Who is this guy? You know, he's a junior entry, so tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's a junior coming out a year early, and in his case, it is certainly understandable. I don't have the exact details, and some of these stories are so sad that I don't even want to get into them, and I'm not being facetious. The socioeconomic backgrounds on some of these poorer kids, especially from the South or from the inner city, are just sometimes so pathetic that you can't believe how bad it is.
Yep.
His family needs the money. It's pure and simple. You know, he needs to get on with his life. If he weren't a football player, he should have been out there earning a living to try to help his family 3 or 4 years ago. I think I read somewhere that, you know, the mother's sick, the father lost his job. It's another one of those scenarios. So he certainly has rationale to come out early. It's not like he's some immature kid that's flunking out of college. So you have, I say, in this case, him coming out is not a negative at all. It may, in some senses, be a positive. He also did a nice job. The other real positive here, I think, is he did a nice job this year. One of the reasons he got mucho playing time and moved around a little bit on their defense is that he's the guy that had to pick up the slack when Nate Irving, who was their star linebacker last year, came out a year early and ended up, you know, with the Lions in last year's draft and playing for them. The part that I find curious here, though, Brian, to be honest with you, and I've only really watched him play about three games.
Okay.
So in this case, and being an underclassman, I did not see him at the Shrine Game. I did not see him at the Senior Bowl. So I'm not trying to make it look bad that you called me because I'm not a Terrell Manning expert, but I don't have as much experience looking at this player as some of the people that the Packers have taken and some of the ones that we've talked about. The curious thing to me, however, is that everything I have seen, everything I've read from others who have watched more of him, he is considered to be more of a 4-3 scheme outside linebacker than he is a 3-4 scheme linebacker. Now, that doesn't mean he can't adjust. It doesn't mean he can't add a little bit of weight. He has added some weight as the years have gone by. At the combine, he came in at 6'2", 237. At the beginning, at the end of last college season, when people were putting together their college football annuals for 2011, he was listed at 6'2", 227. So he added 10 pounds. It certainly was muscle and natural growth because he didn't slow down any. He had a good 40 time at the combine. But again, his background, his scouting report from most of the people I read said he's a traditional will linebacker in a 4-3 scheme, which, you know, I don't want to create a plot here, but it plays into some of what you and I talked about last night.
Yeah,
and that
it sure
is
does.
That some of the moves the Packers seem to be making would tend to make you think that, as you pointed out, similar to what the Patriots ended up doing this past season, perhaps the Packers are going to incorporate a little bit of a hybrid package that's more of a 4-3 scheme in certain situations, and they feel they need a few more players that fit that kind of program as opposed to the traditional 3-4 scheme. Maybe we're reading too much into it, but this is another pick that would say that as a possibility to me. Brian, the other thing that it says to me, now that we've gone this far and they're still picking defense security right now, other than about 5 or 6 guys on that defense, don't you think? I mean, really?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, with all that they have brought in free agency, which Ted usually doesn't do, and all that they've brought in now in the draft, I mean, Jeff Saturday at center to replace Scott Wells is the only offensive help that the Packers have added at this stage of the game. And they're down to their last 3 draft picks, and those are very late draft picks. So if I'm a defensive player, I'm looking at the roster and the depth chart, and I'm saying, you know, there's too many of us here. There could be a few guys leaving town, and, you know, we won't get into it today, but in the back of my mind, you know, there's a couple of names that pop pop into my head right away.
This
could get quite interesting.
I can see the training camp fights breaking out right now. but Paul, do you think he plays inside on the 3-4, you know, assuming they kind of stick with the 3-4 as maybe their base defense?
I think that's possible. Although I think this may be another one of those players, and again, I'm not copping out on you, Brian. This may be another one of those players that is position and scheme diverse, and, you know, you might see him come in one sub package and be an inside backer, maybe just giving a you know, maybe somebody gets banged up for a couple of plays and he actually comes in and takes A.J. Hawk's position for the rest of a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, they could get into a third and long scenario and you might see him right back out on the field with in a linebacker slot with either the Eagle defense or what you and I have been talking about. Perhaps we're going to see some schemes next year where the Packers go with, let's say, a 4-2-5 alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those two linebackers out there. He certainly has the athleticism. Again, because he's considered more of a 4-3 guy.
Yep.
You know, you look at a Will linebacker in a 4-3, and they usually have more athleticism than the vast majority of your 3-4 linebackers. You know, Clay Matthews is a great rush linebacker, and he's stout against the run, but I think he's got some serious deficiencies, at least at this stage of his career. He still has some serious deficiencies trying to backpedal and drop into coverage.
Well, perhaps
maybe Manning is the opposite of that.
Perhaps even more. I think your inside linebackers are all thumpers. Desmond Bishop, A.J. Hawk, D.J. Smith. This is a guy who could maybe play on the inside on passing downs and hang with those running backs.
Right, right. I agree with you. So I think, you know, perhaps the key to this, I'm going to say the two keys to this, in my opinion, are that, A, he is a better-looking prospect than late in the fifth round, okay? Without a doubt. Like I said, in my mind, he's 40 to 50, which is a round and a half, better player than where he was taken.
Yep.
And I also think that there's a good chance, given the what little I've seen of him, he looked pretty athletic, and the way the scouting reports read, he's pretty athletic. He brings more talent than you would expect at this slot, and he brings that scheme diversity and versatility out on the field that we don't have in some of those players, which is why I'm saying, you know, if I'm a Packer defender, some of these guys have to be worried. You know, with this guy coming in, don't you think a Robert Francois seems, you know, has got to be feeling a little bit insecure as a backup inside linebacker? I do.
Yeah. What do you make of, you know, we talked about his background, and it's probably a sad story. You know, he comes out for family reasons. How much stock do you put into that, the chip on his shoulder, maybe not the chip, but the need to provide for his family is going to make him just have an unbelievable drive to succeed?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Again, in this case, you're talking about a guy that's coming out for financial reasons, kind of. But the financial reasons don't have to do with the fact that he's a hot car aficionado. They have to do with supporting his family. And, yes, I think, you know, you would imagine, you hope it doesn't put too much pressure on them. That would be my only concern with him and anybody else in this scenario. But you would think that it brings a player with a greater sense of urgency than some of the guys that we see in the NFL today. And in a case like that, you know, it's probably not a bad scenario that he's not a glamour guy. You know, we talked about this the other night, and we've talked about it before on occasion when we've chatted. You know, Green Bay's a different place. And I think based on what I've seen and read so far of Terrell Manning's background, it isn't going to bother him all that much that he's not in the bright lights and the big city, because he's coming to do a job, to do a job that will provide money that he and his family would never be able to gain in any other job. You know, what other job, a lot of these players don't realize, what other job is going to start you at a minimum wage? What's it up to, almost $400,000 now in the NFL for mm-hmm. minimum wage?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. How many people that are blogging with you, how many people that call into radio shows as sports fans, how many of them, hey, I'm a retired guy, I got news for you, I never saw a top-end salary as a mid- to low-level manager. I never saw a year where I came close to an NFL minimum wage, and that was in a 30-year career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's certainly motivation, and as I said, he's not a glamour guy, and I think that will play a lot better in his trying to adapt to living in a city like Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Maybe just briefly here, how does Manning fit into special teams and perhaps any of these guys drafted so far?
Well, I think with his size and his athleticism, he'll be a natural to play some special teams for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6'2" and a little bit, 237. You know, I'm guessing you'll see him listed on the roster as 6'3", 240. And let's face it, that's a pretty nice, you know, that's a pretty nice measurable for a special team player, especially when you've got a special team player that, you know, has overall athleticism to back up his physical numbers. So I think in that sense, it's a good bet that you're looking at a guy that's going to play special teams. And let's also be honest. I'm trying to remember when Mike McCarthy has said it, but we've heard it from every other Packers special teams coach or head coach over the years, and that is a good athletic linebacker. Those kind of guys make some of your best special team players because of their combination of size and athleticism. I found something I was looking for here, Brian. At the combine, he ran a 4.79 40-yard dash.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, he's not a blazing speedster, but it's not like he's a slow guy. You know, that's faster than guys like Audie Cole and Kyle Wilbur that went earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's faster than Travis Lewis out of Oklahoma. It's faster than Keenan Robinson out of Texas. So, you know, again, he didn't belong as a top 100 pick, but I think he brings very good value here. He brings versatility, you would think, and I just have a feeling him not having a reputation as a prima donna is going to make him a candidate to come in, and whatever the heck the Packers need him to do, his attitude will be, if that's what I need to do to earn this kind of living, count me in. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's not going to be a problem for the Green Bay Packers.
Looking forward here, the Packers only have two draft picks left. They're comp picks that they have to pick in the seventh. They can't trade them away.
Right.
Packers have yet to go offense, so I guess I just wanted to address a little bit. There's definitely a need for a long-term solution at center, and the best centers are off the board. And also quarterback as well, the backup. Those are, you know, in my opinion, I mean, they could go tackle as well. Chad Clifton retired. They could add a running back. But I see center and quarterback kind of some definite needs there. What do you think with what they do? Do they finally take that in the seventh round, or just wait till the undrafted types later tonight?
Yes. Yes to both questions.
They'll add 20 guys tonight, so I suppose.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, Brian. Let's put it this way. I really will be shocked if by Monday or Tuesday, when hopefully we finally see who they've agreed to terms on for rookie free agents. Because let's face it, the last few years since Ted came to town, once again, that's been just as covert as who their first round pick is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They don't announce them until they actually get their signature on a contract. But I would be willing to bet, I'd be shocked, if we look at the list and with the new 90-man rosters, which plays incredibly well into, you know, Ted Thompson's wheelhouse, you know, he'll find players under a rock in the middle of Minnesota. And so Ted Thompson's going to have no problem finding enough players to fill a 90-man roster, I don't think. I don't know how you feel, but I don't think he's going to have any problem with that concept at all. So I think by the time they are done signing their priority free agents, undrafted free agents, and drafting two more guys in the seventh round, I think you will see that the list will include, you know, 3 to 4 offensive line prospects. So let's put it this way. There'd be a lot of offensive guys on that list. How's that sound to you?
And
I think there will be a quarterback. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. You know, a real sleeper like an Alex Tanny, or maybe even if they think it's a priority, I think it's a guy I saw you tweeting about. Maybe a Chandler Harnish is of interest to the Green Bay Packers. But I think you'll see offensive names, even a couple of wide receivers. You know, this is a heck of a deep wide receiver class. And I think it's not impossible that they could take a wide receiver in round 7. But if they don't, they could get 2 or 3 priority rookie free agents that probably last year and the year before, Brian, would have been drafted.
Yeah.
Quality-wise. So I think, and, you know, you've heard me talk, and I've been wrong on a lot of things this year, but I'm sticking to this one. I think this is a very deep draft overall at almost every position. That tells me Ted and Dorsey are going to have a field day signing rookie free agents to fill out that roster.
Paul, before I let you go, you've mentioned it on Twitter before, so it's been public. We appreciate you joining us here on you know, Railbird Central and Cheesehead TV. You've been undergoing radiation therapy. How's it been going? We're concerned about your well-being.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, I was diagnosed about a year ago with prostate cancer. It's the male thing, and I guess let me put a plug out there. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a whole new perspective on what cancer is about, and I guess I would just say to all your listeners, don't ignore it. If you're over 40 years old, even sooner, if you're going for regular physicals, make sure your doctor includes a PSA in your blood tests, and you track that PSA, and You let him do that unpleasant thing of a physical exam of your prostate every time you go in. Hopefully we caught mine in time. We did remove the prostate. However, it was not completely encapsulated, which means some cells got loose, and I still have a PSA count, which you shouldn't have. So we're now doing 7 weeks, 5 days a week of radiation therapy to try to blast away, is the way I put it, the cancer cells. Hopefully that'll work. We'll come up with a clean PSA and we won't have to move on to chemotherapy. But like I said, thank you for your concern. I feel okay. I've got a few minor symptoms. I don't have my energy, but, you know, I feel okay. I'm hoping we don't have to go the chemo route because I haven't talked to anybody that feels okay after chemo. But again, my plea would be to everybody, especially men. Hey, guys, you hear all the time about women with breast cancer. Well, prostate cancer is just as prevalent or more so in the male population. Please track that thing. You got a good chance to at least control it, if not beat it, if you catch it soon enough. So thanks for letting me do a plug there.
No problem, Paul. We wish you the best of luck, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us both days here, the past 2 days of our draft coverage, and enjoy the rest of it. And it's post-draft analysis from here.
There you go. Well, hey, no, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you in about 3 or 4 hours when the Packers grab an a center or a guard. Okay.
Perhaps we'll see. Okay, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me,
okay.
Brian. Take care.
Yep. See ya. Paul Guillemette, pigskinpaul.com, joining us here on Railbird Central. Once again, just want to go through the Pro Football Weekly, the analysis here of the positives and the negatives on Terrell Manning. The positives, instinctive, reliable trigger, athletic movement skills, bends naturally, attacks downhill and can scrape and fill. Flashes explosive striking ability, good zone awareness and ball reactions, plays hard, has pass rush blitz ability, occasionally lined up as a rush end, and shows coordinated hands, feet, and agility, solid special teams ability. The negatives, lacks ideal bulk, too easily engaged, squared up, and eliminated by linemen, does not shoot his hands or detach quickly, average speed, can be a step late to the perimeter and lacks finishing burst. Shows some hip tightness when he has to break down or quickly adjust. Overruns and slides off some tackles. Incurred multiple knee injuries and durability could be an issue. Finally, their summary. A good-sized weak side linebacker who would have benefited from another year of development, but declared with family considerations in mind. Is most ideally suited for a backup role in a 4-3, but has fine instincts and athletic abilities and should help readily on special teams. That's from Nolan Naraki and the crew at Pro Football Weekly. So I think we covered it between Paul and myself. Quite in depth what Terrell Manning brings to the table for the Packers. An interesting pick, to say the least, and a guy who's going to bring some speed to the position, can blitz, can cover, brings athletic ability, probably a core special teams player. You never know till you get him on board, but that's what you think about. We talked about the family situation, how that can be a motivating factor. We didn't talk a whole lot about his injuries. Has a rather lengthy injury history. One major knee injury in high school, one in college that required surgery. Didn't keep him out of a whole lot of action, though, perhaps. And maybe he's like Mike Daniels of Iowa in that regard, where they have injuries, but not necessarily ones that have prevented them from seeing a whole lot of action. So it's the fifth round. The Packers do not have a pick in the sixth round. Not till late in the seventh now. I can't see the Packers making any more trades. Their only option now, if they were to trade, is to give up one next year. So next year's to move up. I don't see that happening after how many times they've moved up already today. But I said that last round. I didn't anticipate any more trading, and here they are. So, we'll be back one more time at the end of the seventh to analyze at least two more members of the Green Bay Packers. Do they finally go offense? Do they get a center or a quarterback? I'm going to go out on a limb and say at least one of these next two picks is on offense. And if I'm a betting man, I'll actually say both, but you never, never know. So interesting to see all the defensive competition the Packers have added here. And as we talked about, it really, man, oh man, can't you just imagine all the players on defense sitting at home, the current players, the veterans,
watching the draft on the defensive side of the football and worried about their jobs. I mean, it's not something to joke about here. I mean, people's livelihoods are at stake, especially, you know, when you're talking about the last guys on the roster, number 53, 54, and the practice squad type of guys. These guys are not making tons of money. I mean, they might in 1 year, but if they only play professional football for a year or two, I mean, they are still guys who are going to have to join the world of work, too, as well, eventually. So, that's beside the point. I mean, they have to be prepared for that. And, the Packers are just trying to put the best team out there possible. And that's Ted Thompson's job and Mike McCarthy's job and everybody who's not a player, their job pretty much. So that's where we stand right now with the Packers draft. So hang with us here, folks. Once again, I'll see you on the live blog, and I'll be back broadcasting by the end of the seventh round as we join you one more time. Thank you to Pigskin Paul Guillemette for joining us. Wow. How much knowledge does Paul bring to these interviews? Unbelievable, huh? The stuff we talked about, you're not getting anywhere else, I don't think. I guarantee that almost. The coverage we're bringing here, I think, is really unique. Certainly other Packers beat writers do a great job as well, but I think we're providing something really unique to our readers and listeners today. So, see you in a little while, folks. Go Pack, go. Once again here, we'll see you in a little bit at the end of the seventh round.